Blog Talk Radio.
Stop. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm tired of that theme music. It's going to change next month.
Awesome.
Our 100th show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. I'm Robert Soblin, and Michael Davies, if you're listening and you're probably not, hire me to host the new Million Dollar Pyramid show. With that said,
Pyramid? Huh.
Yep, there's a pilot being done in New York in a couple of weeks. Jason, since you're in New York, I assume you're going to those tapings?
We are. There are, as a matter of fact, I have some breaking news for myself. I'm actually taping my sixth game show this coming week.
Awesome.
For the Big Saturday Night, which you may have heard of, which is the new GSN show.
You got on either Money List or 20Q.
No. It was called Big Saturday Night, the stunt part of it.
The stunt part of it?
It's being hosted by Ross the Intern, but we got a lot of news to cover, so.
Yeah, let's just introduce the Hit Parade. First of all, our biggest UFC addict here, VRM.
Insert witty comments here, because I have none tonight.
Well said. Next up, we have Tony Reality's worst nightmare, stat boy, Josh Henniger.
I'm looking in a mirror and all I'm seeing is a nerd!
No, all I'm seeing
Thank you, Ogre.
All I'm seeing is meat stroker.
Oh, that was slow.
That's not my line, but
next on this program, we have the ever-engaging and thought-provoking Typho.
Somewhere in the world, Mike Adamly is weeping because the Cutler didn't do it.
Oh,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. I miss Adamly in WWE. I don't know why, but I just miss him. Sure, it was bad, but it was still entertaining. Next up, we have the Jimmy Hart of the pairing of Nikki Haman and Candy Charles, whatever his last name is. And by the way, Candy Charles is Adrian Adonis. Nikki Haman.
No, Candy Charles is Rhett Titus. And in fact, I find wrestling the most unique business in the world when your promoter can go up to a wrestler and say, I really need you to turn up the gay tonight.
Is that?
Wow.
Yeah.
And finally, we have Gordon Pepper's best friend, next to Chico Alexander, of course, Jason Block.
You're going to be very surprised with this first news item. That's all I'm going to say, folks.
Yes. I want to rewind to 3 months ago. There was a big story about WrestleMania and how bad the buy rates were going to be.
Oh.
Well, let's just say this sound effect pretty much describes all of our picks.
Whoa!
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Take it away, Jason. You have the cold, hard digits.
Yes, I do. Let us go back to 2007. Because let me just pull the actual number. Here it is here. The actual buy rate in 2007 was 1.25 million. 2008 was 1.05 million. We all were thinking in the high 700,000, low 600,000, right, guys?
Yeah.
I think you have that reversed. High 600, low 700.
970,000 is the first estimate.
What?
970,000. Now,
it actually hit 900?
Yes, it did. Now, here are some theories that I have, and Nikki and I have discussed this. I want to see what the percentage is of overseas to the U.S., correct? Number
right.
two, we at the time, maybe people save for one pay-per-view. That's it. Three, the economy wasn't as bad as at the time that they were given up to be. And four, people wanted to see Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker.
Which is probably, well, you have to take note, Jason, that the number that you gave, 970,000,
yes,
is combined for day of show, reruns, and international.
But even
I will bet you dollars to donuts that around 100,000 of those buys added international are from people who heard how great the Michaels Undertaker match was and ordered a replay so they could tape that match.
That buys into my theory, though, and we had argued about this a little bit, the fact that I figured that people would buy it just for Michaels Undertaker.
And
I know
the mad genius was right.
Thank you.
Well, you could be. I mean, look, it's a surprise, absolute surprise, and it's a good surprise. You know, you could put on the crappiest WrestleMania and people will buy it. You know?
Don't give Vince any ideas.
Sorry. So, but what are your guys' thoughts on this? Seriously.
Well, if nobody's going to speak up, I will.
I'm pleasantly surprised. I think we're talking over each other, Nikki. Whoopsies.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you.
All right. I was pleasantly surprised because I thought saying that 700,000 was pretty optimistic because Michael's Undertaker was just way up there compared to the rest of the card. I will give you that. But I feel that in the case of Money in the Bank, in the case of, I like the Battle Royal, even if they did a crummy job with the intro. There were a couple of things in there that really did satisfy and made for a good show. I would bet that 100,000 of those are the replays, as Seidelman said a moment ago.
Anything to add, BRM?
Not on this subject. I just saw something kind of surprising for something else, though.
Okay.
It's not even wrestling related. It's MMA related.
Okay. But I think it's a very, very good thing, though. You know?
It is a very good thing.
This is a very good thing. However, this may give us more Randy Orton, unfortunately.
However, there is one point I'd like to make here.
Go for it.
The 970,000 pay-per-view buys is correct. It still puts it about 88,000 buys or how many ever thousand buys behind 24, which means it's starting to slip a little compared to 23, which is the highest that WWE has ever had.
Which was 1.25 million. But even so, I mean, look, we were all expecting a drop of 10 to 20%, weren't we?
Higher.
Yeah,
much higher.
I think between us it was 30 to 40.
Right.
It was about 25 to 40, yeah.
So if you're talking about a 35,000, that is even less than let's see, 10% of 1.5 million is 105,000, right?
Yeah.
That's a drop of 3%, ladies and gentlemen. 3%, if my math is right.
And this will blame all that on the economy.
Yeah. I mean, you could take a 3% drop. Vince is orgasmic over these numbers. That's great.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, I didn't think it would, and also you also have to figure in also the fact that it was an anniversary year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of different factors involved in this, and I will be the first to admit we were wrong.
Yeah.
And we have a new caller. We have a new player. Caller, hello.
Hello.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
I'm doing all right. We just are about ready to close up the buy rate.
Did you hear
story.
The numbers?
I heard a 970-something thousand.
970,000. What do you think?
That's what I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Especially since that puts it fifth all-time on pay-per-view buys, behind 23, 24, 17, and 21.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. These last 5 years have been very good for WrestleMania.
Oh, except for 22.
925,000 buys? That's still pretty good.
Exactly.
Oh, it is still pretty good.
That's sixth now.
Thank God.
And let me just tell you something.
I hope that when it comes to WrestleMania, they do more than that to push 22 down even lower. Not say anything against Mysterio winning, because that was a shockingly good surprise, but the rest of the pay-per-view was eh. But moving on, it's another story for another day.
Right on.
Now we jump from a high in WWE to a low in TNA.
Oh, yeah.
From PW Insider, Samoa Joe was informed that he has a triceps tear in his right arm. This was found when he was getting examined at the Boise State training facility for broken fingers in his ring that he suffered at a TNA house show on June 1st. One source says that Spectre Joe will be pulled from all future bouts beyond the Slammiversary pay-per-view, but is not known to be 100%. Joe has stated that he is willing to get through the injury if it is needed.
It's not.
Joe's a sick bastard. We all know this.
Mm-hmm. Just look at his Twitter feed.
Yes.
Who's his or Borash's?
Joey Styles, man. He's crazy, too.
That
by the
way, Hurricane Helms has been going back and forth for the past 2 days.
Yes. By the way, there are a few wrestlers out there who are Twittering, so.
Kennedy.
What?
Kennedy.
Kennedy has a Twitter feed, too?
Yes.
Yep.
But this is big, because you know who this also hurts, ladies and gentlemen?
Rhino, Brother Run.
No.
Taz.
No, just one person, Taz.
Yeah.
Because he is the master motivator of Mr. Joe. Now, didn't earlier this year Nigel McGuinness go in for this exact same injury? Didn't he have both his arms AFU'd?
Was it bicep or tricep?
Bicep for McGuinness.
Yeah, the pizza had to go down for tricep surgery a few years ago. I think that was his injury from the house show from hell. And he was out an extra 3 months because he re-tore it. But if Joe goes in for the surgery for that, that's 4 months. And
that's a part of time for Bound for Glory.
But you've got to do it now. He can't wait till after Slammiversary.
Idea. At a house show, take a camera, they go outside. Angle, Nash, Steiner, Booker. They all beat him up like the Four Horsemen used to do Dusty Rhodes. Or anybody that got in their way, and they took him out for a while. Joe has to be pulled from the card, from the Slammiversary card, so he can get the surgery. This will be all built up so he can return to Slammiversary to get his revenge on Angle.
We're bound
and take Angle out.
Something to that effect. I mean, he's got to do it now. Nikki's 100% right. I hope, because you also know Joe has worked through sciatica as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's had back. And I've had sciatica. That's not fun. Okay. That's when the sciatica is based on the sciatic nerve, which goes down your right leg. I don't know if you've had back problems like that.
No, but I know somebody who does.
What? I'm sorry?
I got back problems.
So, it's bad. It's bad. I again, Joe, I don't know if you're listening, but if you are, get the surgery done. Get it done now. Get it as quickly as possible.
This will likely affect how Slammiversary is done, especially in the King of the Mountain match. So that pretty much says we know Joe isn't winning.
Right.
And we damn well know Foley isn't winning.
You don't know that.
Hope not.
Yeah, hope not too, but, you know, you never know.
Well, if he does win, there's that briefcase still lying around. They just got to beat the British Invasion guys for it.
Brutus Magnus will cash in and win the title.
Thanks!
Yeah.
Hi, Mark!
Yeah.
Ah.
Well.
You get two of them. Lucky boy.
So nice you played it twice.
All right. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time that we have a special announcement. Before we get to the next story done admirably by Nikki Heyman, here's a breaking news thing about this show. I want everybody to mark their calendars for June 26th. It's going to be a special, special show. It's going to be so special that BRM is going to take the night off. It's so special that Typho, Stat Boy, even Forf was not here, is going to take the night off. It's also even special that Jason's going to take the night off, and I'm going to take the night off.
Excuse me?
Huh?
June
26th is Ladies Only Night at the North American Wrestling Connection.
Very, very cool.
Who said HLA? Who said that? I'm fired.
It was Eric Bischoff.
Yeah. So who you got? So Nikki, I assume you're hosting this shindig?
I'll be hosting along with Trista Kempson, and I'm looking into a friend of mine, Fire, a gal from Pun's House and Online Onslaught, who's also a huge wrestling fan and a big ROH fanatic. I'd like to have the three of us on so that we can discuss the world of wrestling. Just the ladies only, over coffee and, well, no, I won't do the 9-to-5 joke.
Okay.
Yes, ladies only night at the North American Wrestling Connection.
Wow.
No white chromosomes allowed, and who knows, maybe nude Tyler Black. But that's another story for another day.
You think we got Tyler Black on? I had to call Tyler Black.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
That was the only way.
Not only nude Tyler Black. Not only new Tyler Buck, but new John Morrison.
Whoa!
Now get somewhere.
The power of the abs compels you.
The power of the abs compels you.
Hey, fucking men.
Wow. Now all we need is Gary Shepard and the night's complete. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh, wow. Exorcism and John Morrison.
Yeah. After people hear this, they're going to be thinking, what the fuck is going on that show? But anyways, Nikki.
Nikki, you need to calm down.
Give me a second.
Ruby, we need the smelling salts quickly for Nikki. Get the smelling salts.
She needs to get serious for a moment.
I got it. Nikki.
Why?
It's been voted that Randy Orton is the sexiest person in WWE.
That's what you get for letting the marks run the balls.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
Oh, new player. We have a new player. Caller, hello.
You.
Hello.
Hi there, who is this?
Me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
Oh, God.
Hang
Six
up.
The dragon. Six the dragon.
Hang up.
Okay.
Who are you?
Robert, you seriously.
It's the dragon. It's the dragon.
Robert, you
know. Porky!
Hang up. Do not pick up anything else tonight. Do you understand? We're not going.
Yeah.
We're not going through this again.
No.
Okay.
Okay, it's the 740 number. I don't know who the hell that is.
Okay.
I don't know anybody in the 740 area code. If it's a number that I know, I'll pick it up or whatever.
Okay.
That's
Nikki.
In Ohio. Yeah.
Guess
wait,
what, Nikki?
Yes.
Where's yours? I guess you got something to say about a former WWE star, if you want to call him that.
Well, a former WWE wrestler is getting a second chance. Apparently, Vince McMahon is quite happy with the money he's made on WrestleMania, and he made a phone call to a Mr. Chris Mordetsky, or as we better know him as, Chris Masters. Now, before everybody groans and moans and thinks about all the early stuff with the Masterpiece, Mr. Masters has not been idle. He's been out finally figuring out what the world he's supposed to be doing in that ring. I don't know how much work rate he has accrued, but hopefully he'll be able to make a much better impression once he steps back out there. Now, Solomon, we discussed this the other day, and you said something about four words.
Huh?
Four words.
Say that again?
You said you had four words for it. I had four words for it.
Say your four words first. He learned to work. And your four words?
He's tight with RVD.
So what does that mean in the whole scheme of things?
The fact that they can lean on Masters a little bit. Maybe he can say, hey, Rob, things are looking a lot better over here. Why don't you come back?
So you're thinking that if Masters has a successful return, RVD could come back?
I think that Masters might be a part of the puzzle to try to get Rob back into the WWE. Rob has already gone on record that he's not ready to go back on that kind of schedule. He's going to be picking up shows here and there and just doing his own thing,
mm-hmm.
which requires a lot of staying at home and smoking pot, but we know this. but also taking very good care of his wife.
That is true.
Then
I said that is true, and hopefully she's continuing to recover from that insidious colon cancer.
So, I'm not saying anything bad about Masters because he himself was used as an example when it came to the wellness policy, and where where rumors are already running rampant that Orton's got people peeing for him.
Excuse me?
Masters. I've had a rumor come my way that Orton couldn't pass a piss test. That's all speculation. So
Okay.
Take it for what it's worth. Remember, you can't believe everything you read on the internet.
Okay.
But Masters has gotten his second chance.
I think we should
give it to him.
Even though he failed the wellness test like three times. But, we could all talk about people who have had second chances before.
Warrior.
Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, Marty Jannetty had about 1,500 chances.
Yeah.
But WWE is a never-say-never company, because if they stood fast on a lot of this stuff, Jeff Hardy wouldn't have been able to come back. Marty Jannetty wouldn't have gotten as many chances as he did. Scott Hall wouldn't have gotten as many chances as he did.
Right.
Grandmaster Sexton.
Regal.
Yeah, Regal got another chance. Grandmaster Sexton was given a chance, and he blew it. So, you know, I just want to see what if Masters has gotten seasoning he needs. Because I'll admit, I was not a big fan of him from the beginning. Even before he came on TV, in a stretch of four house shows, he injured three people.
Really?
He nearly killed Bell Venus on a shoulder breaker. He messed up Rhino's knee in the house show the next night. He was put up against an indie kid. I don't know if that kid got hurt or not. And I'm trying to remember if the fourth night was the night that he caved in Stevie Richards' face.
Wow.
I think Stevie Richards' face was on Raw.
Yeah, that was his TV debut.
Okay. So, no, then it wasn't. But just the fact that, you know, if you're injuring people and they're trying to get you on TV, if you're injuring people, you need to go back to developmental. And people were jumping my shit left and right when I was protesting, when I was making these claims. I'm sorry. One of the things you have to have when you're in the ring, you know, I hate to ruin somebody's illusion, but it's ensuring the safety of who you're working with.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And that, my friends, is probably one of the other reasons why Kennedy's walking the streets right now.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yep.
X gets the square, $500.
Thank you.
New player. Is this you, Four?
Yes, it is. Is that just a reference, or are we actually playing a game?
It was just John Davidson, the Hollywood Squares reference.
Oh, thank
you. Or the early Bergeron days.
Hollywood Squares.
The only loss I want to have is the pick'ems for tonight.
Yeah, which we're about to get to, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I don't know. I got the name of the pay-per-view down, finally.
Oh,
they changed it so many times, I finally got it. It's WWE Extreme One Night Stand Uncensored In Your House Rules.
Or as I call it, WWE, We're Now Engaged.
Oh, boy.
Next year, WWE here. Well, never mind.
No.
How about just WWE June pay-per-view? They're going to keep changing the name anyway. At least
first June pay-per-view, that is. There's still another to come.
Oh, by the way, quick note about the ladies-only show. There is a pay-per-view on the 28th, which is The Bash. If I remember correctly. Yep, it is The Bash. We're not going to do pick-ems for that pay-per-view because, let's face it, when has that pay-per-view been any good?
Well,
you know
what?
Halfway decent.
You know what? I would do it anyway, and we would do it by email. Or we should actually do them on the 19th. I don't know if they'll have enough matches to do it.
Probably not.
But I think we should do it by email, not to disrespect any pay-per-views, nor the quality of this show.
And I find it amusing, though. According to the issue of WWE Magazine, it is still called the Great American Bash in those ads. And the picture is a close-up of Big Dave.
Does it say Batista on it? Good measure.
They believe we'd know who Dave is.
Okay, let's have a look. See here, eight matches.
Rob.
Yeah, Carl.
Before we start this, can I make an observation since it's in my state?
Yeah.
Okay, as we're doing this right now, guys, I'm actually not at my house. I'm about 3.5 miles away in a little city called Alexandria.
Okay.
For the weekend. Now, the pay-per-view's in New Orleans, and I'm not going to it because I don't want to be doused with dick crap.
Doused with what?
Dick crap.
Oh, that match.
Yeah. But, however, there's a possible chance that I might be going down. It's about an hour and a half south from where I am right now to Lafayette for the Raw on Monday.
Possible.
Possible.
And we have a new player. Caller, hello.
Hey, everybody. Hey, what's up?
Hey,
DJ. Who's this?
This is DJ.
Hey, DJ.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah,
Sorry I'm late. I was taping a YouTube video of me violently shaking my wrists.
Win!
Yes.
That's awesome.
Let's see, a random video of somebody shaking their wrist. Expect to get 10,000 hits by Tuesday. Hey, if Fred can get 50,000 hits in 1 week with one of his lame-ass videos, why can't somebody get 10,000 with shaking their hand at the camera? And as my voice cracks like Peter Brady.
Yep.
Okay, 8 matches, 9 points possible on this one. Why? Because it's my show, it's my rules. Moving on. Let's see, if I remember correctly, Nikki's the champ.
Woohoo! That looks good on you, but it's coming back home to Brooklyn.
I don't think so. It looks quite nice on my wall. But if you
and
want a title
the
shot,
trash talk begins.
But if you want to as a title shot, Mr. step closer and I'll give you one right between the eyes.
Yikes!
That's okay. You still hit like a girl anyway, but that's all right.
I hit like a manager, which does even less damage. Anyway.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa.
I thought you said...
Whoa.
Whoa.
Robert, you've lost all control. You know that, right?
To be honest, Jason, I've never even had control of this show since the show started back in 2007.
Probably thanks to me, yes.
To be honest, at this point, the tickets reminds me of the that old Saturday Night Live sketch where Phil Hartman was like an anal retentive cook, an anal retentive carpenter. He'd always be trying to put everything in its place neatly and meticulously. And by the time he actually gets started with the project, the credits start to roll. He keeps getting sidetracked way too easily.
Well, that's what happens when you live and wait. Ooh, AWA wrestling.
Oh, very good. Win. That's good. Oh, boy.
All right, first match. By the way, let me explain the rules briefly. 1 point for each match, unless a special stipulation is added, then it could be worth 2 points. We have the don't give a shit option, and use it as many times as you want. You get a half point for that match. And if it's worth 2 points, it's worth 1 point. Everybody ready?
Yep.
I hope.
Ready.
All 9 of you. Here we go. First match listed, Miss WrestleMania, Vicky Guerrero versus Santina Marella. Let the calls begin, BRM.
One word. Why?
Okay, I'm giving this the Picard salute right now.
I've been doing it the Picard salute since Vicky won it. I don't care. No. Just no.
What? Okay. And,
that boy.
Don't give a shit. It's not Christmas.
Jason.
This is the first time I'm ever going to not pick a match and say don't give a flying F. I'll take the half point.
Hey, Phil.
This is also going to be my first time ever using the option, but I just don't care.
Carl.
Do you even have to ask?
Fourth.
I'm going to regret this later, but I am going against the grain. I'm going to say Morella wins.
Wow.
Wow.
Party pooper!
Yeah.
Bonus
fans. Always gotta be one of the bunch.
DJ.
Okay, I'm picking Hunter Hurst. Henry O. Godwin. You know what? I'm just picking the fucking pigs because they're the only ones that won't come out smelling like shit after this match. I'm picking the pigs.
Wow. Oh my God, that's beautiful.
This show has fire. Oh my God, it's on fire. It's on fire.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
I'm on the floor.
Jesus.
Nikki, are you taking the half point or are you going to make a pick?
I'm actually going to make a pick, but I want to throw something at DJ for stealing my thunder.
Hey, if it comes down to this half, having a full point over a half point deciding it, either you or I could have the last laugh.
That's true.
It's true.
Who are you picking, Nikki?
I am picking Ms. Guerrero.
Oh, okay.
Because Santino or Santina doesn't have to really make this fun. Although
and I am picking,
debatable, though.
And I am picking a repeat of High Stakes Poker on GSN. Half point.
Oh, gosh.
To be fair, the only people that should be really pissed about this match are Rico and Marty, the two handheld cameramen who got the flop.
Yes.
At the last show.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And Michael Cole.
Yes.
But then again, mm-hmm. It's Michael Cole, and nobody cares about Michael Cole.
Heidenreich, Mato.
Oh, man. That was beautiful.
Okay. Moving on. If we can.
Trying to pick him.
You know, this show's kind of falling apart like a Drew Carey episode of The Price is Right, where
Whoa.
We're all just giggles and happy and fun.
Okay. Next
no,
one.
No,
well, if I can make it worse, then never. I won't.
Okay.
CM Punk versus Umanga. In a Samoan strap match. Nikki?
Now, I'm just making sure this is a Samoan strap match and not a Yavapai Indian strap match.
Oh, my God. Wow. You know, this is just total mayhem. I love this.
Let me check the match. Let's see. Hulk Hogan's not in it. Ric Flair's not in it. And a Samoan is not an Indian, so no.
Okay. As a poor soul who had to watch that damn match live in person, I bear the scars. Anyway, I've got to see Punk take this one, although he has momentum going in.
DJ.
By WWE logic, Punk losing at the last pay-per-view would see him winning, but also he already got the win tonight on SmackDown, so... I don't know. It's kind of weird, but I guess I'm going to go with Punk. I don't know.
Fourth?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I'm confused, but in the end, I'm thinking it's going to be Punk.
Carl?
No, I went against him last time. I'll go with him this time. I'm going to go with Punk.
Typo.
I did a little investigative reporting. I went and visited the Isle of Samoa to study the art of their strap match, and after seeing the evidence, I think Umaga can't lose.
Investigative reporting by Typho. Here's a point. That point to be redeemed for, let's see here.
A cookie.
Cookie. A cyber cookie half eaten by me. or for five temptation dollars. Jason. And the crowd goes dead. Jason.
I think Umaga's gonna win this. Unfortunately, because Punk just happens to be the Vince's pay-per-view bitch. Unfortunately.
That's true.
I buy that logic, I think. Who do we have next? Oh, Fatboy, Fatboy.
Yeah, gee, thanks. Umaga.
VRM.
Umaga!
I don't care, punk. All right, here's your two-point match, ladies and gentlemen. Fatal four-way. United States champion Kofi Kingston. Oh, by the way, give it up to Kofi Kingston for winning last night, winning on Monday.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
Versus MVP versus William Regal versus Matt Hardy. 2 points in this one. Who wins? And this is Fatal 4-Way. Who gets pinned?
Who sees the stars at the end of the night?
VRM.
Okay. I'm trying to understand the booking here because I don't get home in time to see most of Raw for my normal Monday drums. Regal and Hardy are sort of a team right now, but something tells me that they're going to end up fighting each other in the end, and I think Kofi's going to capitalize on one of them. I think it's going to say Kofi over Hardy.
That boy.
I share your sentiments to a large extent. However, it's going to be Kofi Kingston winning, but with William Regal seeing his scene up for three.
Jason.
That is correct. It will be Kofi over William Regal. Kofi cannot, you know, it's going to be fun. Another fun match.
And we have received note from the other end of the screen that somebody who is listening to the show said, I like your comment about high-stakes poker. I'd rather see AJ Benza and Gabe Kaplan in this hogpin match rather than Santino Marella and Vicky Guerrero.
Wow.
Yes.
Send a win.
And Marv Albert just as a special guest referee. Jason, you said who again? Sirens are blaring around here, so I couldn't hear you.
I said Kofi over with Regal taking the fall.
Okay. Then I believe we have Typho.
I am going to say that Kofi Kingston, I mean, he just won it. He's not going to lose it. So Kofi Kingston is going to win, and he will pin William Regal.
Carl.
As far as who's winning, I think it's a clean sweep. Kofi's going to keep the belt, but it's going to be Regal that's going to get pinned.
We then march on the fourth.
Even though the winner is a formality, it will be Kofi, but I think he's going to be pinning Matt Hardy.
DJ.
Jamaican me indifferent. Kofi Kingston over Matt Hardy.
Nikki.
Kofi pins Regal, but Matt attacks him after the match is over. According to his Twitter, his hand's better.
And I'm being razzed on the chat room. Listen
I gotta
to this
see
one. This is from the chat room guy, Pastor Pat. Rob, if you hear you need to do CPR on your show, I think it's dead. Your show needs the jaws of life or something. This show is so bad, I put my fish near my speakers. It hurt your show and died.
Why don't we just ignore... I'm sorry, Nikki. Why don't we just ignore the chat room and continue the pick-ups, please?
Yeah, let's just ignore it.
Yeah. He probably gets less listeners than this show. That's saying something. Nikki, who'd you pick? I forgot.
Kofi pins Regal. And
Kofi pins MVP.
Whoa.
It sounds like MVP's getting to a main event contention. I don't know if they're gonna have him pinned by Kofi in this one.
Well, it's just something to throw out there, I guess.
Okay. Let him pick.
Rey Mysterio versus Chris Jericho Intercontinental Championship match. No hold barred.
Oh, not
just. Wow, isn't that like just the greatest stipulation? The entire pay-per-view is already no holds barred.
Well, this whole match just plays out like a decent edition of WCW Uncensored.
Or even worse, maybe the film No Holds Barred would have something to do with it.
If it wasn't, never mind. Go, Nikki. Yeah. Who wins?
Chris Jericho still doesn't need it, and there has been talk at house shows that Chris Jericho going for and possibly even getting Rey Mysterio's mask has not gone over very well, as in people aren't booing it loud enough. It retains.
Carl, yeah, no, sorry, DJ.
First of all, I'm hiring Triple H Home Invasion Incorporated to pay a visit to Mr. Chatboy. So be expecting that sometime next week. Anyway, I'm going to go with, I know he doesn't need it, but he needs a win. So I'm going to go Chris Jericho by referee stoppage. Can that happen?
Yeah.
Is there any way that he can win and not get the title?
Count out disqualification. Or
by some screwy,
no holds barred.
So by some screwy WWE logic, he wins but doesn't get the belt. I don't know if that's possible, but they managed to forget their own stipulation, so that's what I'll go with.
Oh, so they're gonna pull a WCW. Okay. Fourth.
I think Jericho is gonna catch Ray with a code breaker and win.
Typho. Carl.
I gotta disagree. I think Jericho's become another one of the pay-per-view bitches. Mysterio retains again.
Typho.
I'm gonna go with Jericho.
Jason.
Jericho takes the belt and he does unmask Ray, but we don't see his face.
Hopefully not.
A la Kane, whatever year that was before 2003.
So you jump on YouTube and watch Super Brawl 99.
Or you can watch 98 and see Hoovy unmasked.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it was Super Brawl 98.
Yeah.
Snapboy.
Damn, this is probably the hardest match on the card for me, but I do side with Nikki here. Jericho does not need it yet. Mysterio wins.
VRM.
I'm with them. I'm going to say Jericho doesn't need it. He's going all about how he's going to be a 9-time Intercontinental Champion. You're already an 8-time. You're already leading the charge. You don't need a 9th.
Well, he needs more Intercontinental titles to take the stench out of Randy Orton's title reign from 2003.
I kind of thought the reign was...
With that said... Mysterio still wins. Jericho does not need it yet. Now, East Triple Threat Hardcore Rules Match. Christian versus Swagger versus Dreamer. In one word or less, VRM.
You have to go one word or less for this one.
Yes.
Of course.
I'm going to come back to you?
Yes.
That boy.
I cannot say one. I can only say two. The first word, goodbye. The second, Christian.
Two words.
Hey, I said two words in the beginning, man.
We're playing password rules here this game. Jason.
Dreamer.
Typho.
Swagger.
Carl.
Christian.
Fourth.
Kane.
Who?
Kane. He has a cane. Tommy Dreamer has to sing about Kane.
Oh, Kane as in C-A-N-E.
I thought that was Sandman.
What are you?
This is too.
Yeah. The only thing I remember about Singapore Kane and Dreamer is him getting blasted by Sandman or Jerry Lawler hitting him with a Singapore Kane in the balls.
For Dreamer, wouldn't it be cake or pie or something like that?
No.
I have the word for it.
Testicles.
Wrong guy.
DJ.
Man ass. Nikki knows what I mean.
Save a picture for dating out of this.
Nikki, can you please explain to me that one?
Okay. In house show, just before Ted DiBiase was put on TV, he had a match with Tommy Dreamer. The two of them put on quite a good match, but DiBiase cheated, rolled Dreamer up, and grabbed a handful of his pants.
Uh-oh.
I got it. So, Dreamer.
So, yeah.
And who are you picking?
If you're an ECW fan, you'll get this. Cheese grater.
Two words.
No, it's not.
Hyphen.
It's one word.
So, password rules, it's still illegal.
Okay, I got my word.
All right, go, BRM.
Tournament.
What?
You don't think it's going to be resolved. There will be no winner. Hardcore rules, man. Are you sure?
No. I'm saying tournament because Tommy wins.
Ah.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Oh, right. No.
What? What?
Christian. Christian. Three matches to go. Cena versus Big Show in a submission match. Fun. All right, go, VRM.
Seed Royal Rumble, what year was it? 06 or 07?
07.
Seed Royal Rumble, 07, Cena.
Fat Boy.
Cena.
Jason.
Cena, unfortunately. This is about as telegraphed as Western Union.
Typo.
The odds shall be overcome. Cena will somehow, some way make the Big Show tap out.
Carl.
See? No.
Fourth.
I think Cena will win with the STF, which Cole will act like he's never seen put on anyone that height.
It did Cena.
DJ.
Swerve, Macho Man comes in, hits an elbow drop, and then puts Cena in the camel clutch.
Perfect. And then he says, be a man, Cena, be a man.
Step into it, oh yeah.
She plugged to DVD here.
Oh, who's your pick, though, by the way?
I guess that means I don't give a shit.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
Nikki?
I think it was VRM that was suggesting the rope-assisted STF.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was.
I think that's how it's got to go down. Cena's going to use something to help him get that STF clamped on, or he's going to use a brand-new submission.
Let's see here. I already exhausted the don't give a shit. Well, not yet, anyways. I'm going Cena for the easy point. Cena for the easy point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the match I care about. Edge Hardy.
Match of the night, baby.
Bingo.
On down.
Go, VLM.
Hey. Oh. Jeff's got a hell of a lot of momentum after that twist of fate. I'm going to say Edge.
Fat Boy.
I will say, in a bit of a weird shocker, probably the thing that I'll lose on, Hardy.
Jason?
I'm a member of the Hardy Party. This is going to be great stuff. Hardy takes the belt.
The Hardy Party.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, dude.
I'll have to keep that in mind. Typo?
Let's see. I am going to have to go with Edge retaining his title.
Oh.
And, you know, the only reason I would go to Extreme Rules is to watch this match, but I got Hardy going to take the belt.
Fourth.
I think Edge will win, and in a manner that does live up to the Ultimate Opportunist nickname.
DJ.
At the risk of sounding really corny, I'm going to say the winner is going to be the fans, because I really feel this is going to be a kick-ass match. I mean, if it's even half as good as the build-up to it, if you saw SmackDown tonight with their Cutting Edge segment, that was unbelievable. That's the best, probably, promo segment I've seen on WWE TV in the last 5 years. So,
I was all ready for JR to break out. How do you fall off a 20-foot ladder after that?
You might have been walking in half. By God, Nikki. Who are you picking? By God.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, I'm picking Jeff. Sorry.
God, this is tough because you're talking about two guys that pretty much, you know, helped put TLC on the map.
Which begs the question, why isn't it a TLC match?
I was at the show where Jeff was picking the match, and me and Bear started a TLC chant. I wasn't Jeff paying attention. he was in the show. Edge, Jeff.
Just flip a coin.
I'll flip something. I'll flip this. Anyway, if Jeff
just
is
pick David Arquette.
No. Not put David Arquette. I'd rather put David Arquette under every single ladder that was in that Cutting Edge segment.
We're running out of time. We're
going forever. Okay, fine. I'm going to go out on a limb, just like Jeff's going to do. Jeff's going to take the one risk, and this time he's going to land it, and he wins.
I'm going to select Edge for two reasons. One, the contract is still up in the air. We don't know if he's going to resign or not. His contract expires sometime soon. That's the only reason why I'm picking Edge. Because of Hardy's contract, we don't know if he re-signed or not. If he does re-sign and he wins the belt, then we're all happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, let's just get this over with. Orton, Batista, in a cage. Nikki, I got the point button ready for you if you want it.
As in the I really don't care part of... This is my I really don't give a shit match.
All right, you got the point.
The half point.
Yeah, the half point.
That's fine.
DJ.
Triple H returns, actually costs Batista. Randy Orton retains.
Damn it. Fourth.
As much as I want to say Orton, I get the feeling Batista's going to be machine gun dancing his way to Raw with the championship.
Oh.
Put me down for the point. I don't care.
You got it. Typo.
Randy Orton wins, and surprise, surprise, Batista gets a rematch at the Bash.
Jason.
Orton's a title holder, is a placeholder until Triple H returns. Orton wins.
That boy.
Batista can't climb cages. Orton retains.
See above. See above. As in see
don't
what...
Don't give a flying fuck about Orton. Don't give a damn about Batista. I'm taking my half point, and that's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen, for... BRM, Snapboy, Jason Block, Typho, Nikki Hammond, Carl, DJ, Forth. I'm Robert Seidelman saying hi.
We're in the archives.
Hi.
So you have, now Robert, since we are in archives now, you said you have something about the rise and fall of WCW, which is, I think, one of the most anticipated DVDs to come out of the WWE factory this year.
Yes, it is. And they got some pretty decent people to do this DVD. Now, we all know that Eric Bischoff and Ted Turner rejected this DVD and don't want any part of it.
Really? They're not doing it at all?
Yep.
No.
Yeah, but we all know we're going to see Bischoff in there in spliced interviews.
Mm-hmm. But no interviews.
It's going to be we're going to have some new interviews from some pretty big people.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see if I could. Where is that?
I'm just asking where the source of this information is, if I may ask.
PW Insider.
That's pretty good. Okay.
Be honest.
Okay. Here it is. I found it right here.
Okay.
Some people that are going to be doing new interviews for this are Jim Crockett.
Whoa.
David Crockett.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey Schiller.
That's a big one.
Kevin Sullivan. And this is the first time he's done anything for WWE.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the most surprising one of all.
Yeah, here we go.
Yep.
Goldberg!
Okay.
I'm excited for Harvey Schiller.
Well, let me ask you this, guys. Is this going to be a Ultimate Warrior style DVD, or do you think they're going to be fair like the Macho Man DVD is going to be?
I would say they're going to be a bit more towards the fair side, except for when it comes to Bischoff. They're going to warrior his ass off.
There's three people they're going to warrior off. Jim Herd, because Flair will probably more than likely do interviews for this, and he's still pissed off at him. And a lot of people who were in WCW at the time were egregiously pissed off at Herd.
Mm-hmm.
And deserve
of course, himself. Eric. Yeah. Of course, Eric Bischoff.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And our favorite whipping boy himself.
Vince Russo.
Vince Russo.
Ah,
I think Kevin Nash is going to take his licks in this too, because he also first of all he works for the competitor in TNA, and secondly, towards the end of Nitro he had a lot of say in creative. I think he was actually a member of the creative team and had creative control in his contract and the like. So I don't think that they're going to go easy on him.
And you know who else they will not go easy on? And Nikki, maybe you'll say you think they won't go easy on Hogan for his WCW years. Is Nikki still
Nikki's
here?
Gone.
Oh, Nikki's gone. I'm sorry.
Oh.
How are you doing?
I just got a small question. Is Sid involved in the video at all?
It would probably just be as some guy who watched WCW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I don't get is they talk about WWE always doing revisionist history. If I'm not mistaken, the title of the AWA was the legacy of the AWA or something like that.
Spectacular legacy of the AWA. And it's pretty much true because 50s, 60s, 70s, early 80s, AWA was cooking.
And yeah, and even like when they talk about world-class championship, it's the triumph and tragedy. And the tragedy is something that's unmistakable, and that's the death of the Von Erich family and all that. And, I mean, even the rise and fall of ECW, yeah, they talked about how it pretty much set the tone for the Attitude Era. It pretty much was the Attitude Era before WWE was Attitude, But, I mean, they also ran out of money and they were poorly managed. Nikki, I'm sorry. But I don't think it's revisionist history. I just think it's telling the truth. You can't put rose-colored glasses on everything. I think the Monday Night War might have been the one that was revisionist history the most because you had Gerald Briscoe going on there, had no business even talking. You know, we kick you down in the mud and slap you and kick you and beat the hell out of you or whatever his quote, his infamous quote was.
Yeah, I mean, I have the Monday Night War DVD, which, by the way, is an excellent DVD, even if it is programmed.
Right, and it is great, but it's the one that's the most revisionist history, but, I mean, they did win the Monday Night War. They have bragging rights. I think it's going to be more of, this is going to appeal to the hardcore WCW fan because there really hasn't, besides the Starrcade DVD, there really hasn't been anything really that's big into WCW because I think the Monday Night War DVD only had, what, 3 or 4 extra matches?
Not a lot more than that, but I'm just worried that they're going to pull a Warrior on the whole thing and basically saying WCW is for shit. And it wasn't. WCW for a lot of years, even in its NWA form in the late 70s, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Back when it was Georgia Championship Wrestling. Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling.
You know, Mid-Atlantic and all that stuff was actually stuff I didn't know about. Okay? I will be honest. I was a WWE guy. When I got into wrestling, I was, wow, let's see, I'm trying to think.
In the days of Baron Miguel Cicluna.
Back in the days when Bruno Sammartino
was in the middle of his 7-year run. Sorry to date you that bad, but there you go.
Yeah, but that's okay. But, I mean, I remember, you know, wrestling with my cousin, and he was, like, 12, and we were just, like, playing, like, Wahoo McDaniel and all that stuff, because he was from Richmond. And he was into the Southern wrestling, you know, stuff I never saw. And I'm just worried because the WCW NWA stuff was the better competition back then. It truly was.
I agree too, and I started watching WCW back in 1993, so I would have been 6 years old at the time, and I was a WCW fan all the way to the very end. I watched WCW Pro Saturday morning, Saturday night, Worldwide Main Event. I mean, I never, ever missed a WCW show. And then later when they had the Clash of the Champions that was free on TBS, Nitro Thunder, I went to actually a Nitro taping, which saw the debut of Kevin Nash and saw Sting drop from the rafters. And it was just, I mean, WCW for a while there was just so unbelievable. And when they started Nitro, I mean, it was really great for a wrestling fan, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because Vince is, as you know, when Vince is at his best is when he sees a legitimate threat to his empire.
Okay? Exactly.
And right now,
I'd like to say that was pretty much the mid to late 80s when he did WrestleMania. He saw what was happening down in Georgia, Crockett's territory.
It wasn't just Crockett, though. I mean, that's Starrcade. You know, I mean... I agree with you, though. I mean, put it to you this way. Wasn't there one time, if my wrestling history is correct, that there was a Clash of the Champions and or a Starrcade at the same time as a WrestleMania?
No.
Yee-hee.
Twice.
Okay.
Twice. That was in 88.
Okay.
WrestleMania 4, and then you had the first Clash.
On the same time.
At the same time, then 6 months later, not 6 months later, but 8 months later, you had Survivor Series 88, and you had Starrcade 88, True Grit.
Right. So I'm saying to you that the best time when you see Vince as when the product is better, when he sees a legitimate threat. Nobody, I mean, honestly speaking, Vince does not see TNA as a threat. Honestly,
yeah.
They should. Because let me tell you something, the last two Impacts have been good. Have been
yes.
Really good.
Yeah.
The whole month of
May, Impact has been better than Raw.
Exactly. And you want to know why it is? Because what they're doing is they're doing subtle changes, like camera angles that are different. okay? They're doing something with the pacing, and they're doing something with the writing and giving us stories that we care about, you know?
And I'll tell you, too, they're doing it with guys at the top like Mick Foley, who can't wrestle a regular schedule, who can't even walk upright at sometimes. I mean, they have so much talent that if utilized correctly, they could be a major threat. And I thought their shows are better with them not even utilizing their talent, their shows were better. So imagine if they utilized their talent. And getting back to one point that Jason made that I think is definitely valid, as we talked about them having to do WrestleMania because of Starrcade. When you had Flair and Rhodes going down in the South and the Southeast and Midwest and selling out arenas and drawing money and drawing big heat for their matches and their rivalry, WWF at the time didn't really have that. They had Hogan, but they didn't have anybody else.
And what year were they talking about?
Just in the 80s at all. I mean, they didn't have like that big in the early 80s and in the mid 80s, 83, 84, 85. They really didn't have that big feud. They had a guy Hogan who was young and green and raw, but they didn't have anything to build him against. And they had the celebrity involvement that got WrestleMania off on its feet, but it really wasn't until WrestleMania 3 with Hogan and Andre that was the big thing that put the WWE on the map.
Also, give you two other matches in that card from the WrestleMania 3 card that helped bolster the WWE quite a bit.
Steamboat and Savage was one.
Of course, Steamboat and Savage. I also like to throw in Hyper Adonis.
No. You see, again, what you're doing is that this was that was the peak of Hogan and Andre sold out Closed Circuit. Of course, you remember Closed Circuit, guys, before pay-per-view.
You go to a theater.
Yeah, or I went to the Cole Fieldhouse in Maryland, okay? And people cheered when they thought Andre the Giant won, okay? They hated Hogan. And I mean legitimately hated. I'm just saying to you that at this point in time, I'm just waiting to see, do we have a release date on this or is this going to be later this year?
I think later this year. I think they're going to probably release it around September, October.
I hope they don't piss on the legacy of WCW. That's the thing. Because, first of all, I thought the WCCW disc was very good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just think that the WWE Wrestling DVD collection people really know what they're doing, and they've got a huge library of footage. Don't fuck it up.
The release date is August 25th, 2009, so it'll be out in the early fall. Late summer.
So you have the WWE release date calendar for the year?
I just went up on Amazon.com and it says, I had seen that date earlier, so it's August 25th, 2009.
August 25th. Okay.
And my birthday is August 30th, so I know what I'm asking for.
Yeah.
There was something that I wanted to add about the DVD. I don't have a legitimate source per se, but I had a friend who was in town at WrestleMania, and he told me that they were filming interviews for something. He didn't know what at the time, but he said they filmed interviews with Bill Watts and Diamond Dallas Page talking about WCW. So it may be for that. It may be for something on 24/7. I don't know.
I heard something about DDP, so that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I'll say this about Bill Watts, though. I think... Well, Jim Herd almost killed WCW in 91.
Mm-hmm.
He let Flair go and put the belt on Luger, which neutered everything. Then, after Herd was gone, you got a guy by the name of K. Allen Fry, who made some big moves, who brought in Jesse Ventura, put the belt on Sting.
Mm-hmm.
And push forward this entire Dangerous Alliance thing. Bill Watts came in and he made it quite amazing. He made it even more amazing mean, he built up Vader to be an even more legitimate threat than he already was. Then he brought in the Miracle Violence connection in Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Terry Bam Bam Gordy. And did some other great stuff for it. I mean, you take a look at all of the WCW pay-per-views and clashes from 92. Whoa.